Welcome to Troop Talk Radio, Voice of the Troops. I'm your host, Matt Bruce, and on Troop Talk Radio, you'll hear our brave military men and women in their own words from wherever they're serving America in the global war on terror from. And now, let's get started with this week's show. Thank you for tuning in to Troop Talk Radio, Voice of the Troops. Well, welcome everybody to the Captain's America Radio Show and Troop Talk Radio, Voice of the Troops. And yes, that is Anchors Away. That is the Navy song. And we are going to be speaking with a Navy man from the Tampa Bay area calling us live from Iraq. It is Rear Admiral Kelvin Dixon. Admiral Dixon, how are you today, sir?
Matt, I'm doing very well, and I hope everyone there in my hometown of Tampa, Florida is doing as good as I am.
Admiral, I want to give you an opportunity right away, sir, to say hello to everybody and anybody listening in the Tampa Bay area, and we are right here in the backyard.
Well, I want to say hello to my family in Tampa, Florida, and St. Petersburg, Florida, and, of course, to all the good Americans there in Tampa and Florida and the United States that supports our troops, Matt.
There you are, sir. Well, today I do believe is a historic day for the Navy. It's their birthday.
That's right. It's 236 years of a fighting Navy for our country, and you better believe it, and we love it.
And, of course, when you think about the Navy, one also has to think about what the Navy entails, where they're at, all the different great missions they've got, the carrier task force groups, the guided missile warships that are out there, wherever they happen to be. They're floating cities, literally, protecting America's freedom around the world. But you're doing the same sort of thing in helping the Iraqis put a Navy together, are you not, sir?
That's true. We have over 200 sailors, airmen, marines that are helping us to rebuild the Iraqi Navy and Marine Corps, and they are doing a fantastic job. And I tell you, I'm happy to be a part of this group.
And folks, we're speaking with United States Navy Rear Admiral Kelvin Dixon, a Tampa Bay, Florida native, calling us live from Iraq. Well, Admiral, what can you tell us about the Iraqi Navy? I mean, are they going to have, like, full-size warships? Are they going to be patrolling the Persian Gulf area, or what's going to be their scenario?
Well, Matt, the Iraqi Navy and Marine Corps is responsible for Iraq's critical oil infrastructure. And within that oil infrastructure, their focus is on two of their oil platforms, and those platforms are called the Khor Al Maya oil platform, or KAOT, and the Al Basra oil platform, further known as ABOT, and they account for roughly 70% to 90% of Iraq's oil exports. And the Iraqi Navy, in their territorial waters, they have about 55 nautical miles of water space that they patrol and protect, and they are doing a fantastic job with that to date. And thanks to our Navy forces and Coast Guardsmen, our Marines that have trained them to this point to get them to the level that they're at today. And I am very pleased with the progress that the Iraqi Navy and Rear Admiral Ali has done with his Navy.
And Admiral Dixon, what size ships are they using? I mean, are they ocean-going ships or patrol boats like the Coast Guard, or what are they using?
That's a good question, Matt. What they're using is patrol boats. As a matter of fact, the United States, working with the Iraqi government through what we call a foreign military sales FMS case, they purchased 12, what we call 35-meter class patrol boats, and those patrol boats are built in Morgan City, Louisiana, and they're still producing those particular boats for the Iraqi Navy. And also, To add to that, here next year, the Iraqi Navy will be getting a 260-meter, what we call offshore support vessels. They're like big tugboats, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Those are being built as well in Houma, Louisiana. Of course, I wish it were, they were built in Florida.
Right.
But I can say that the company that's building the offshore support vessels, the Riverhawk, is out of Tampa, Florida. So I'm proud to say that.
Yes, sir, and I know where that facility is in Tampa. Now, what's the one thing, Admiral Dixon, that you miss the most not being able to be back here stateside besides your family? I mean, there's got to be baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, something you're missing.
Well, you know, Matt, I tell you, we're so busy over here with focused on this mission that thank goodness we have Monday night football and so forth, so I could watch our Tampa Bay Buccaneers work their way to the Super Bowl again this year, and they better. And, of course, I can see the Tampa Bay Rays and so forth. So really right now, just really focused on this mission and doing it very well, and then getting home to enjoy a slice of one of those good Cuban sandwiches there from the Silver Ring out of Tampa.
And folks, we're speaking with United States Navy Rear Admiral Kelvin Dixon, a Tampa Bay, Florida native, calling us live from Iraq. Well, Admiral, you know, a lot of people talk about the food over there compared to here. Now, you've already talked about that Cuban that you'd like to have when you get back over here. But how is the chow over there?
I tell you, you know, they are taking good care of us. And when I say they, the good civilians that are here and our military food caterers that take care of us, the food is exceptional. As a matter of fact, if you don't work out, which you have to work out, but if you don't work out, you certainly can leave here 15 pounds bigger than what you were. So the chow is absolutely excellent.
And, Admiral, I hear one of the reasons for that is because there's this rumor that circulates that there may be something called a 24/7 dessert bar that seems to be available at most of the installations where our forces are, not to forget about those 31 flavors of ice cream that seem to pop up a lot.
That's true. The desserts are absolutely phenomenal, and those 31 flavors, you're absolutely right. I haven't seen all 31 of them, but we definitely have seen the top three for sure, and it's absolutely fantastic, Matt. So no problems with chow here.
And folks, we're speaking with United States Navy Rear Admiral Kelvin Dixon, a Tampa, Florida native, one of our locals over there in Iraq, and he has been working with and advising and training the Iraqi Navy. And again, Admiral, tell us about the Iraqis and what makes them so unique, because I see a military force that's actually standing tall and doing some really good jobs there in Iraq to get their country back on track, and that's what I'm seeing.
Matt, I tell you, they are, when you talk about protecting their water space, based on the training and the advising, the assisting, the equipping that we have done here with the Iraqi Navy and the Iraqi Marine Corps, they are taking this mission seriously. I think they're going to be a force that will be a recognizable force in the next few years in the region, and that's going to make us, as Americans, feel very proud, and very proud of them, especially as a Navy force, and what the United States Navy has done for the Iraqi Navy and Marine Corps.
And Admiral Dixon, how long have you been in the Navy?
Okay, that's, you know, now you're going to be able to tell my age. I've been in for 30 years, Matt, and it's been 30 great years. I graduated from Chamberlain High School there in Tampa, Florida, and played basketball and ran track there. And I tell you, when I look back on the last 30 years, they prepared me well for where I am today. And when I come to Tampa, I'm going to stop in and see the good folk there at Chamberlain High School. And I'm very proud to be a student of that particular school.
And Admiral, just remember one thing. It has nothing to do with age. It has to do with ability and experience and what you choose to do with that. And you've obviously done very well with yours, sir.
Well, thank you, Matt. And You know, I want to say to you as well, being a Vietnam veteran, that, you know, we're proud of you. And of course, you're the proud parent of a United States Marine Corps officer. So, you know, we're proud of you and what you are doing and what you're doing for our service personnel.
Well, I want to thank you, Admiral, but it's never been about me. It's always been about we, all of us, and all the men and women that serve in the military. But, Admiral, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. What is the one thing that comes to mind that stands out that you're the proudest of being in the Navy?
Leadership. That is the biggest thing that I'm very, very proud of. The leadership that I'm given, the leadership that I'm able to exude, if you will, to all the sailors that I come in contact with, and all the service members that I come in contact with. That's the biggest thing that I've been trained and drilled hard on, and I really, really take that to heart and appreciate what the military has done for me in that area, and fine-tuning my skills as a leader.
And Admiral, I want to thank you very much for coming on the program today. I know you're very busy over there doing what you're doing. When you come back to the Tampa Bay area, I certainly hope you'll look us up. We'd love to meet you in person, shake your hand, and have you on the radio show live in your own backyard in Tampa, Florida. How about that, sir?
Hey, I appreciate that, Matt, and I'd just like to say to the families and all the parents out there that thank you, and the support all of you in America, our American families give us. I want to say again, thank you so, so much.
You betcha. And folks, we've been talking with Rear Admiral Kelvin Dixon, a Tampa Bay, Florida native, live from Iraq, and he's doing a great job over there helping to build the Iraqi Navy. Also, we look forward to meeting him when he gets back here in our backyard. And don't forget, Admiral, we sit across the bay from CENTCOM, and every day we look out the window over there and watch those big planes take off and land out of MacDill and wonder whether or not you'll be on one of them.
Roger that, Alba. I definitely will drop in and see you, Matt.
All right, folks. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
When I need to know, the Captain's America radio show is the place I go. Weekdays 3 to 6 p.m. on 1470 WMGG. Tampa's conservative talk station.
Homeowners, did you know a burglar could break into your home and get away in just 5 minutes? A locked door may not be enough to keep a thief out of your home. Think about what you can lose, and then think about this. Now you can get a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-800-860-0392. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. So call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-800-860-0392. $99 installation charge. 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 a month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now. 1-800-860-0392. That's 1-800-860-0392.
We're talking to you 24-7, 365.
NewsTalkFlorida.com. And hello, everybody, and welcome to the Captain's America Radio Show and Troop Talk Radio, Voice of the Troops. And we are speaking again live to another military man or woman stationed wherever they might happen to be serving America. Today, we're going to be speaking with United States Air Force Major Benjamin Carroll, who's with the 609 AOC somewhere in an undisclosed location. He's a KC-135 instructor pilot. And Major Benjamin Carroll, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
Yeah, if we were doing any better, we'd be out on the beach. How's that? Because we've got a beach here with real water. Now, I want to give you an opportunity, Major, to say hello to everybody and anybody that's listening. And keep in mind, we're right here in one of your relatives' backyard, Tampa Bay area. They can hear us up there in Spring Hill.
Yeah, I'd like to say hello to my grandmother, Evelyn. She's up in Spring Hill, and to my folks back up in the Northeast, and my wife and kids back in New Jersey.
All right, very good. Now, you are a KC-135 pilot. You're also an instructor pilot, and you also are a tanker planning person. So tell us what all that entails, please.
Okay, well, I always wanted to be a pilot and worked pretty hard, and they allowed me to fly the KC-135, and I get to go refuel other aircraft in flight. Right now on this deployment, I work at an air operations center, and we plan all the sorties that go out to refuel all the fighter and ISR, the intelligence, and all the different kinds of other platforms that require air over refueling to perform their missions across both Iraq and Afghanistan.
Now, Major, this isn't your first rodeo. I understand this is actually your sixth deployment.
It is. I've been deployed all over Southwest Asia, and I've previously been stationed in England, so I have a lot of experience overseas.
Okay, and everybody wants to know, what is the most difficult when you have to deploy? You know, everybody's got a different reason or a different statement, but what's been your hardest challenge?
I think the hardest thing is staying in touch with family and everything. I've got a couple of young kids, and this deployment, we've got a really good Skype connection, so I get to do video and talk to them, so that's help make it a little bit easier to be away.
Okay, so then it is easier in some cases than in other cases, and it depends strictly on whether or not you've got Wi-Fi and or versus satellite or whatever else, right?
Oh, you can. Yes, they do a really great job of trying to support us. Previous deployments, maybe the connection hasn't been good, but I've always had access to either email or to phone calls, and that's always worked out.
Now, over there where you're at, as a KC-135 instructor pilot, and of course we have right here in my backyard, MacDill Air Force Base, where we actually have one of those squadrons, I believe, sitting over here at MacDill, so we see the planes coming and going fairly regularly. But are you actually working with the Iraqis, because I understand, I'm sorry, the Iraqis, with other members of the group with the works with CENTCOM, the 64 member countries? Do you interact with those countries?
We do actually. Most of the people I interact with are our Air Force, but I also work with a lot of Army, Marine Corps, and Navy, and a lot of our coalition partners, specifically the French and British. They have some tankers out here that we coordinate the activities of the tankers to ensure that everybody gets the support that they need to accomplish their missions.
Okay, well, folks, we are speaking with United States Air Force Major Benjamin Carroll. He's with the 609 AOC. He's a KC-135 instructor pilot. He's also a tanker planner, and he's calling us from an undisclosed location over in southwestern Asia. Now, the other thing that everybody wants to know about is your schedule. Pilots are basically pretty much at on call most of the time, 24/7. You could be up at any time of the day or night, right?
Yeah, that's definitely true. We try to keep air crew on a standard schedule. You know, normally fly 8 to 12 hour long flights. It can be a pretty long day. Unfortunately, I don't get to go fly on this deployment, so I get 12-hour days, and it's been a pretty consistent schedule, so that's worked out pretty well so far.
Okay, and how long have you been in the Air Force, Major?
This is my 10th year.
All right, and everybody takes advantage usually of some of the benefits that are there, including further education and whatnot. Have you done that as well?
I have. I went through Reserve Officer Training Corps at the University. They helped pay for my college, and I received a master's degree a couple of years ago in the Air Force.
Now, we should point out that you're a Yukon Husky, and we won't hold that against you, because a couple of the Big East teams up there, including, well, not Yukon, I guess they're going to stay there, but Syracuse and Pittsburgh are coming to the SEC, so that's going to put a little crimp in the Big East.
I don't know what's going to happen, but I think everything's going to level out. Obviously, Big East is a big basketball conference, so we'll see how it works out this year.
Oh, yeah. Now, got to ask you, because sometimes it depends on where you're at and what's going on, but how's the chow? Because the military moves on their stomach, so how's the chow?
I've enjoyed it a lot. We have a couple different dining halls here, and I try to make it a point to go to the different dining halls. Every Sunday night, Mongolian barbecue, that seems to be a popular thing out here, so we always look forward to that.
And Major Carroll, what do you do in your spare time, if you have any?
Let's see, I've been working on a couple of classes, some military classes. Obviously, I spend time talking with my family and connecting back home. I've had the opportunity to do working out a lot and reading.
Okay, and folks, we are speaking with United States Air Force Major Benjamin Carroll. He's been in the Air Force for 10 years with a 609 AOC. He's a KC-135 instructor pilot, and he is also a tanker planning officer, and he's working with the Coalition as well as the Air Force at an undisclosed location in Southwest Asia. Now, I know a lot of times the jet tankers that get up there, the KC-135s, and I understand there's a new tanker that's coming to the Air Force as well. Is that right?
The KCX will be a Boeing tanker. Don't know when it's going to be initial operational capable, but I may see it in the next couple of years. I'd love to go fly it if I get the chance.
Yeah, I can't wait to see one of those and see what the difference is compared to what we've got up there now. But when you fly around different places, where's your best duty been? I mean, do you have one place that really, you know, you'd really like to go back to?
I think my first duty assignment at Milton Hall in England was probably our best. My daughter was born there, and we got a lot of chance to travel around around Europe and everything. But one of the other things that was, we had a really great group of people that I worked with, and you can make or break your career or your time just by the people that you're hanging out with, and we had a great bunch of people that we still keep in touch with regularly.
And in World War II, that base you talked about in England, there were a lot of pilots that were over there, a lot of crews, flight crews and whatnot, and I believe you have a relative that's a veteran of that era, is that right?
Yes, My grandfather served in the Army Air Forces as a mechanic, and he's actually stationed in England over at Liverpool on the other side.
Okay. Now, if you had to pick one thing that you did that you're the proudest of in your 10 years in the Air Force, what would that be?
That's a good question. I'm not so certain, but I think probably the most recent, most important thing, my last deployment, I got to work with an extremely good group of people and live efforts in, we were deployed to Kyrgyzstan and worked a lot with the U.S. Embassy, and we did a lot of good things to help keep the base there and also to help the local populace with issues that they were working on.
All right, well, that's all very good. Now, Major, we're coming up to the end of our segment here, so again, I want to give you an opportunity, Major Carroll, to give a shout-out to everybody and anybody that's listening, and keep in mind the podcast of this radio show and this interview will be available for the entire world to hear.
I'd like to thank you for this interview, and thank you guys for the support that you give military members like myself. We're out here. We don't necessarily always want special favors, that we're doing our jobs, and it's really important. And we'll just keep chugging along, helping to protect America.
Okay, well, Major, we're very proud of the job that you and all of your compadres do over there, all of our military men and women, and, of course, being in the backyard of CENTCOM, who wouldn't be, and MacDill Air Force Base, as well as all the different military bases that are here in our state and around the country. And from all of us to you over there, I want to thank you for your service. Please pass along these famous last words from a firefighter. This is our slogan in the fire service. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Stay low.
Stay low.
That's our slogan. You live by that and nobody will ever get you. In other words, keep your head down.
Yes, sir, I will.
All right, folks, we've been speaking with United States Air Force Benjamin Carroll, Major Benjamin Carroll, 609 AOC, a KC-135 instructor pilot, also a tanker planner from an undisclosed location over there in Southwest Asia. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. The Captain's America Radio Show and Troop Talk Radio roll on.
When I need to know, the Captain's America Radio Show is the place I go. Weekdays 3 to 6 p.m. on 1470 WMGG, Tampa's conservative talk station.
Attention! Caribbean Cruise Line is giving away free cruises to the first 500 callers that register in your area. So get ready to write this number down and act fast. We know that the best type of traveler is a repeat guest, and we're so committed to this philosophy that we're giving away free cruises to prove it. That's right, a free cruise to the Bahamas, including your cabin, all your meals, a full spa, casino, live entertainment, three kids clubs, a kids water park, and more. Come see why we were recently named the best new Bahamas getaway cruise by Porthole Magazine. We're so sure you'll enjoy yourself and become a repeat customer that we're giving you this free cruise vacation for free. There's no catch. You're simply responsible for a small port fee, and your cruise is free. Just call 877-554-5031. That's 877-554-5031. It's over a $500 value, and it's yours free. So call now, 877-554-5031. That's 877.
You're listening to Troop Talk Radio, Voice of the Troops, on your favorite radio station. And hello, everybody, and welcome to the Captain's America Radio Show and Troop Talk Radio, Voice of the Troops. And joining us over in Iraq, rip-roaring and ready to go, Tech Sergeant Joseph Cole. And Sergeant Cole, say hello to everybody who's listening today, please.
Hi, I'm good.
All right, you want to say hello to anybody special that might be listening? Because our program is not only heard here in the Tampa Bay area, the home of CENTCOM and MacDill Air Force Base, but the podcast is heard around the country and across the, and around the globe. So say hello, because they're going to hear you later over there where you're at.
Yes, sir. I'd like to say hi to my lovely wife, Jennifer, and my son, Connor. They are out at Kennan Air Force Base in New Mexico.
Okie dokie. Now, you are a native Georgia boy. You're from Thomasville, Georgia, which is right up there just above Tallahassee in the Panhandle. And you went to school there, and you're a proud graduate of the high school there. And how did you manage to find your way into the Air Force, first of all, and out there to Cannon Air Force Base in New Mexico?
Well, I did. I graduated from high school there in Thomasville. I was a bulldog. And basically, I came out of high school, and I wasn't sure about college, but I knew I wanted to do something with myself. So I looked at all the different services, and the Air Force seemed to be where I wanted to be. And then I joined as a mechanic originally. And then after my first enlistment, I became a photographer because I liked that creative aspect of the job. And then eventually found my way out to Cannon.
Okay, and this is, folks, we are speaking with Tech Sergeant Joseph Cole. He is with the 321st Air Expeditionary Wing, which is out there in Iraq right now at Sather Air Base in Iraq. Now, this is your second deployment over there, is that correct?
This is my first deployment in Iraq. I also did a short three-month deployment in Kuwait back before 9/11.
Okay, what's the difference that you see today where you're at versus where you were pre-9/11?
I would say there are a lot of differences. For me, I'm not necessarily restricted to the base. I have done some traveling. I would say the numbers are the big difference and the mission. When I was in Kuwait, my mission there was to service and maintain generators that provided electrical power for the compound I was on, and the overall mission at Kuwait was just directing air traffic there. And now here at Sather, as a public affairs person, I've been traveling around and documenting the training mission that the Air Force has in Iraq, teaching Iraqis how we do business.
Okay, and Sergeant Cole, how are the Iraqis standing up? And they're getting ready to basically take control of everything. So being an Air Force guy, you're probably right in the middle of them becoming pilots and jet mechanics and all that sort of thing, right?
Yes, sir, we have documented a lot of that. I can only speak from my personal experience, but the different places we've gone, the general consensus is that everyone is pleased with the can-do attitude of the Iraqi airmen and their willingness to learn.
All right. Now, if you had to pick one thing and define it as your defining moment as a sergeant in the Air Force, based on what you've been and what you've seen, what would it be, Sergeant Cole?
That's a really tough question to...
That's why we ask them. That's why we ask them.
I would say the thing that I enjoy the most when I get to do it is being a facilitator, helping other people get the job done. I like being there to solve those little problems on the ground as they arise to help the mission continue. I really do like being a facilitator.
And Sergeant Cole, how is it easy for you to communicate with your wife and your son and your family and friends, or do you have to kind of pick and choose your moments, or how difficult is it to communicate with your home?
It's actually fairly easy here. We have wireless internet in our rooms, and I get to speak with my wife and son every evening, which is their morning, through Skype, so I actually get to see and hear them, which is great. My first deployment, I got to make a phone call every once in a while. So the technology really is amazing from the way it used to be to the way it is now.
And folks, we're speaking with Tech Sergeant Joseph Cole. He is with the 321st Air Expeditionary Wing. Tell us about that unit, the 321st. What kind of unit's that?
There's actually a twofold. The 321st Wing basically provides all the missions here on the base. They run the airfield. They run all the services for your living and for your power and your water and that type of thing. And then outside of that, we have the training mission, which the mission is to train Iraqis in whatever we can train them in, be it flying a particular airframe, teach them how to be a safety officer, teach them as a public affairs person. We have counterparts in the Iraqi Air Force, and we're teaching them how to be a public affairs representative.
All right, very good. And folks, we're speaking with Tech Sergeant Joseph Cole. He is over at Sather Air Base in Iraq. Okay, you were going to say something else, Sergeant. Go ahead.
The mission really is to pass along all the information that we have for each respective career field at each level, officer, enlisted, and so forth.
Now, I sit here, Sergeant, in the backyard of CENTCOM at MacDill Air Force Base, and as you well know, CENTCOM is running everything that's going on over there. So we have a lot of veterans, a lot of active former military, a lot of World War II, Vietnam veterans, Korea, all that sort of thing here in the backyard. And a lot of these groups have gone out of their way to support you guys and gals over there while you've been on your deployments because of the way some of us were treated when we got back from our service overseas. So can you tell us what some of the things are you're getting from home that you'd like to say thank you for?
I would say, just like you said, the outpouring of support is night and day from the way it was in other conflicts. And I would say, generally speaking, I would say every military member feels like they do have that support. Regardless of people's political views, almost across the board, you do feel that they're supporting you. And we do get things on the ground here. You know, there's always a little something, some kind of treat, some kind of package, some little perk that the company provided, or just different things that make it easier for us over here. And then when we return home, I've only been traveling through the airport the last few months to a couple different places, but I wasn't able to make it through the airport anytime without someone approaching me and saying thank you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's something that we enjoy doing is welcoming you guys and gals home when you come home through the airports. We ambush you, if you will, because we always find out who's coming back and forth. And, folks, we're speaking with Tech Sergeant, United States Air Force Tech Sergeant Joseph Cole. He is over at Sather Air Base in Iraq with the 321st Air Expeditionary Wing. Okay, just a couple more questions, Sergeant. How's the food over there? How's your chow?
The food is great. They give a pretty wide selection. And there's always plenty of it. We have to tell them not to put so much on our plate. And it's just one of the big morale things. They really do a good job with it.
All right. And I've heard that the desserts over there are to die for, especially ice cream. Any truth in that?
There's always a steady flow of ice cream. There's always a cooler with selected treats in it and hot pie and that type of thing. There is quite a spread for dessert.
All right. Now, to all the people that are listening today, Sergeant Cole, if you wanted to really get something from home, what could these people that are listening send you that you would really appreciate getting?
It's very well taken care of. I really don't want for anything. I would say that if you have any family members that you haven't heard from, try to contact them because they may be busy and they may feel like it's a hassle on their own or something like that, but if you could reach out and contact them on your own, I think that would probably do the most good.
Okay, and they can also do that by going through the American Red Cross, who is a very active agency that can help them do that. And one last time here, Sergeant Cole, I want you to give a shout-out, hello, goodbye to everybody and anybody that's listening. Go right ahead, Sergeant.
All right, I'd just like to, again, say hi to my wife and son, Jennifer and Connor. They're out in Clovis, New Mexico, where Cannon Air Force Base is. And also to all the people I work with out there, I miss them also.
All right, very good. And, folks, we've been speaking today with United States Air Force Tech Sergeant Joseph Cole. He's over at Sather Air Base in Iraq with the 321st Air Expeditionary Wing. Sergeant Cole, I got two last words for you. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Stay low.
Well, let me tell you something. I sure will. Thank you.
All right, folks. The Captain's America Radio Show and Troop Talk Radio, Voice of the Troops, rolls on. Don't go anywhere.
American girls and American guys, we'll always stand up and salute. We'll always recognize when we see old glory flying. There's a lot of men dead. So we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our head.
We're talking to you 24/7, 365.
NewsTalkFlorida.com. Limited time offer, prices, packages, and programming subject to change without notice. 24-month agreement required. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Have your cable rates been going up and up? Are you tired of your cable company pushing you around? It's time to push back. Cut the cable and get Dish Network installed with absolutely no equipment to buy. Here's the best part. Packages start at just $24.99 a month for an entire year. That's right. Call now and get Dish Network professionally installed free. Plus, get an HD video recorder free and 9 premium Showtime channels free for 3 months. If you call in right now, Dish Network will also throw in free HD for life. A Dish Network authorized retailer is waiting for your call and can have you watching TV as soon as tomorrow.
Call 1-800-342-5903.
Imagine all your favorite movies, sports, and shows in crystal clear digital quality for less money, and you won't have to deal with the cable company anymore. At only $24.99, it's like giving it away. Call now for full details.
Call 1-800-342-5903. That's 1-800-342-5903. Again, 1-800-342-5903.
You're listening to Troop Talk Radio on the Phoenix Broadcasting Network. Phoenix Broadcasting, where quality talk radio shows can be heard.
Get up, get on up. Get up, get on up. Stay on the scene. Get on up. I like a sex machine. Get on up. Get up, get on up.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to the Captain's America Radio Show. More fun than a human being should be allowed to have by law, but we find a way to do it. We're going to go right to the telephone line. Our good friend, a man's man in every respect of the word, retired Army Major General Paul Vallely. General Vallely, how are you today, sir?
Well, Matt, I'm fine. I'm still out here in Montana, and after having visited Indiana and Kentucky last week, met some great people out there. They were doing a Tea Party event and some other things, so got to talk to the veterans of foreign wars out there, too, which is quite exciting.
Yes, sir. Well, you and I have been talking back and forth for quite a while, but for the last 12 to 14 months, we've been talking and warning the people about the serious risk that's being posed by Iran with their involvement, not only in the Middle East, but over here in our hemisphere, in South America, in Central America, in Mexico. We've talked about their involvement with the Mexican drug cartels, with Hamas, with Hezbollah, over here again in Mexico, in our hemisphere of Central and South America. And all of a sudden, Eric Holder finally wakes up and goes, oh, look what we found.
Well, yeah, that's right. And, of course, there's a lot of questions all over the media, radio, television, and the newspapers about this. But it just seems a little strange to me. Something's not right here, Matt, and I'm not sure what it is.
Mm-hmm.
On the exact report, the Quds Force linking up with the drug cartel, the Zetas,
mm-hmm.
A couple Iranian, one a American citizen. Quds Force is a pretty efficient user of proxy forces. They're pretty careful what they do to cover themselves. So
mm-hmm.
This does not seem to have been covered as professionally as they do it. So that's why it's a little suspect to me. But it probably went down, as they said. May have been a rogue force or the Quds Force, which is part of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, as
right.
you know. So,
mm-hmm. Well, you know, the federal criminal complaint in New York also said that the two were also charged with conspiring to use a weapon of mass destruction against the Israeli embassy and the Saudi Arabian embassy. What do you suppose that might have been?
Probably a bomb, I would think, because they can bring it in. They're very good at car bombs, as you know, what Hezbollah used, which is a proxy of Iran against our Marines at the Beirut airport. They also used it with one of their proxy forces, the Iranians did, against Khobar Towers that many may have forgotten about, but that was a building that housed many of our Air Force people that were stationed in Saudi Arabia at
right.
the time. So there's a track record of this using not necessarily suicide bombers with vests on, but highly packed trucks or vehicles. And I suspect that's probably what they were going to try to do.
Now, the other thing is, and folks, we're speaking with retired Army Major General Paul Vallely, chairman of Stand Up America U.S. We'll tell you all about the website here at the end of the interview. But not 1 month ago, the Iranian president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, stood before the United Nations General Assembly in New York City and delivered a speech rife with hatred of the United States, with the September 11 conspiracy theories, anti-Semitism, and denials of the Holocaust. You know, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking to myself, okay, Attorney General Eric Holder opens his mouth, says this, says that. We listen to what he has to say. But in the meantime, he's been subpoenaed to speak in front of a House committee about Fast and Furious. There were also reports, General, about those same weapons, Fast and Furious, possibly being involved in some of what was going to take place.
Well, I wouldn't doubt it at all, and I think this is one of those moments of opportunity for Eric Holder to get off the focus or take the focus away from Fast and Furious on this Iranian plot because it's been several weeks and months in developing. So there may be some political action going on here by Holder, because we know he's purely a political animal, unfit for the job as Attorney General,
right.
inept and corrupt. So I don't believe one word that he would say about anything that comes out of the Justice Department at this point in time. And I suspect that Robert Mueller, FBI, must be frustrated, but yet, we've talked before, Matt, a lot of these guys in Department of Defense, CIA, FBI, there's some lower-ranking agents that are standing up and saying things, but the senior guys are not standing up when we know there's a lot of corruption going on.
And let's talk about Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton, General, because she said at the State Department yesterday that the United States is already consulting with our allies and partners in the international community, including the United Nations, on how we can send a very strong message of that this kind of action violates international norms and it will not be tolerated. So therefore, probably some sort of diplomatic communique is going to go back and forth at a time when a presidential candidate by the name of John Huntsman said, if Iran has a nuclear capability, then we should bomb the nuclear facility. He actually said that yesterday.
Well, that's exactly right. And, of course, I've been saying it for several years now that we ought to be taking out the regime targets. And I think we covered before, Matt, there's 75 targets that the Israelis have targeted, which includes the Quds Force, a Revolutionary Guard, the headquarters, port facilities, missile launch sites, as well as the 8 or 9 nuclear sites. And so General McInerney, when we were on Capitol Hill in May, made a presentation that covertly we ought to be destabilizing the mullahs over there because their intent is to bring down Israel and the United States. And
right.
They will do anything they can to make sure that that happens. And we shouldn't be so naive to think that it won't happen.
Now, General Vallely, let me make a comment here about something that was very quietly slipped under the radar. We talked about it briefly here probably 3 months ago when we got wind of it. The Israeli military forces have either purchased or somehow gotten their hands on some of our most advanced and powerful bunker buster bombs.
Correct.
What do you know about
Correct.
That, sir?
Well, actually, under the Bush administration, the first bunker busters were sent over to Israel. Some of the same types we used on Tora Bora in Afghanistan, as you may remember, back in 2001, the fall of 2001 and early 2002.
Mm-hmm.
They have since developed them to a further degree as far as weight and as far as their capability. And so the bunker busters, we've been doing that military sales to Israel prior to this. So this is not news to me that we're sending them more.
And General Vallely, what do you think is going to happen here? Is this going to escalate further? Or are we just going to play political falderau back and forth? Or are we finally going to take a stand and say, that's it, you're done, see ya, hasta la vista?
Well, rumors are we will do something, but as you can say, it's all rhetoric from the State Department. It's all rhetoric from Congress. It's rhetoric for the most part, from Congress, and certainly from the White House. I think the Iranians, under the mullahs and under Ahmadinejad, are going to continue to escalate. They've sent ships into the Atlantic Ocean to test our fleets there already. That was 3 weeks ago. And so they're going to push the envelope, Matt, as much as they can, because they know, in fact, we have done nothing since we got our hostages back in 1979, and we've been a paper tiger.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to play. They're going to play us as much as they can. Sanctions and these less, I would say, weakened words that are coming out of the State Department that you know the Iranians are going to be held to account for this. Well, what's that mean?
Yeah.
You know, we're going to chastise them and talk to more. And they know that. And so they play us like a fiddle. And that's what's disturbing about it.
And finally, General Vallely, in some 80 days, approximately 80 days, we are reportedly going to be leaving Iraq. However, Iraq is now asking us to keep a presence there of military forces. I'm sure you've heard that from the reports that you get. I've seen them. What is going to happen in Iraq when we leave? Is it going to be a vacuum like we keep hearing and are led to believe Iran is just going to rush right in the back door?
Well, Matt, they're already there. General Suleiman from the Quds Force already controls a lot of the activities south of Baghdad in the Shiite communities. Maliki is very much in bed with Ahmadinejad in Iran. I think it'll be a suicide mission to leave any of our troops over there, especially just 3,000, because they're going to end up 24 hours a day just protecting themselves. And the explosions, the suicide, the bombings over there continue, and you know the number one target will be U.S. vehicles and U.S. troops. So, as I've said before, let's go to the lily pad strategy. Let's get good intelligence. We'll attack them from outside, but let's get all the troops out of the Middle East, and we'll deal with them from the outside using our Joint Strike Force capability.
Yeah, and roger that, General Vallely. And, of course, folks, we've been speaking today with retired Army Major General Paul Vallely, Stand Up America U.S. General, the website, please, sir.
StandUpAmericaUS.org.
All right, and you can go there, sign up for the newsletters, and you'll find me listed under the kitchen cabinet where I hold the title of janitor, right, sir?
Well, that's correct, but I think you're now janitor first class, which is a great promotion.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, General. You have a great day, and thank you very much.
Has your computer been slowing down? Are you having problems sending and receiving email? Is your printer acting up? Or is the internet taking so long to load that it seems like the worldwide wait? Are you waiting to fix your computer because of cost? We know times are tough. People just don't have the money to buy a new computer or fix the one they have. What would you do if your computer just stopped working? I'm Luke Ford, CEO of My Computer Works. We help people just like you every day. We provide a low-cost way to fix your computer. We do it directly over the internet. This saves us time and you money. With one easy call, we can help you get your computer working the way you want it to. Once you sign up for our service, our U.S.-based technicians will connect directly to your computer, with your permission, of course, and fix the problem for you. It's affordable, it's fast, it's safe. It's My Computer Works. Just call 1-800-628-2540. 1-800-628-2540. That's 1-800-628-2540.
American girls and American guys, we'll always stand up and salute. We'll always recognize when we see old glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our heads.
You know what makes me sick? You know what makes me so mad? I just want to drop my pants, sit on a piece of cheese, and swallow a mouse. Man, the boys down to Duck Inn come up with an idea last night. Gonna revolutionize dating. It'd change the whole relationship between men and women now. See, what happens is this. We're sitting there, you know, and Runt Wilson's brother Woodrow, he walked in there looking like his dog or his truck had just died. Well, old Runt, he's wanting to give his brothers, you know, the business, you know, so he goes, "Hey, Woody, what about that sweet young thing you walked out of here with last night?" Woody goes, "Yeah, well, after we left the bar, she took me straight to her house." We go, "Yeah, buddy, go on." He said, "Where I met her mother." And we're all, "Oh, yeah? And her six cats." "Oh, and her three kids." He said, "Man, that killed the buzz right there." We're sitting there, Woody pulls his stool up and he goes, "How come you can't find stuff like that out about a woman before you do something you're going to regret?" And that right there is when the lightning bolt of ingenuity just gobsmacked us right side of the head. Women need barcodes. Yeah. Put one of them barcodes on their bellies here, their shoulders, somewhere like that, and you can scan them before you waste time on them. I mean, you're in the bar, had a couple of beers, and all you see is Hooters and a butt and hair like Sarah Evans. But let's say you could scan her, right? Then you find out she's been divorced twice, in jail three times for credit card fraud, and is the sad carrier of her mama's freakishly large giant butt jeans. And I know barcodes on women at work, because I remember one time my old lady leaned across the grocery checkout to give the girl a coupon, and the machine read her stretch marks and rung up a side of beef. So I know that technology exists. Wake up, America! But until then, till we get all women tagged with barcodes and a national database established, buyer beware. I'm Earl Pitts, American Pencil.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do.